Today on Real Radio.
Satan loves ethnic separation. By the way, a healthy church is a Neapolitan mix-up of all kinds of things. And ages too, by the way. Ages and colors and financial strata, lifestyle. When God's moving in a church, when God's moving in a fellowship, it should be all God's people.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a mini-series that's taken from chapter 9. Remember, the period of the Judges is a volatile one in the history of Israel, as this section of the Old Testament illustrates. It also shows how times haven't changed, as the nation continues to live under continuous threat from her neighbors. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in his mini-series called Kingdoms in Conflict.
Man, when you have ambition, what does that mean? And Abimelech's going to live this out. He's got ambition to seize the kingdom, and it's going to lead to murder. When you have this sick fixation on self, boy, left unchecked, it could lead to murder. You know, you and I live in a country right now anyway that is governed by laws and civility. What's going to happen when people either immigrate or migrate to a country like America who have no values for our laws? They don't understand them. They don't care to. Culturally, don't care. Where maybe they've come from. It's uncivil. It's violent. It's dog eat dog. You know what I'm saying? What happens if your mom or grandpa and grandma or great grandpa and grandma came to America without adopting the civility? It could be very dangerous. When that happens, ambition rules and anarchy will reign. We must be civil, and ambition will put this mindset where I'm going to seize the kingdom. Abimelech's got that. Now listen to this. It comes from a very, very bad source. Isaiah chapter 14. It's a very, very bad source in that it's a satanic characteristic. Isaiah 14, you can turn there. You got to jot this down. If you've never seen this portion of scripture before, it's going to be quite eye-opening. Isaiah 14 verse 12. Note this. These are the five pillars of Satan. The five pillars of Satan. Isaiah 14. Isaiah says by prophetic word, "Oh, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning." You know who Lucifer is, right? Satan. We're going to learn something about how he fell and why he fell and was booted out of heaven. "How are you cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations?" Why does Satan weaken the nations? Because he's got kingdom mania on his mind. Okay? Watch this. Verse 13. "For you have said in your heart," number one, "I will ascend into heaven." Number two, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." Number three, "I will sit on the mount of the congregation of the farthest sides of the north." The top of the top. "Four, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." Five, "I will be like the Most High." I will be like the Most High. Who said that? Satan said that. Isn't that weird? Think about that. I will be like the Most High. You guys, here Satan is saying, I want all this. I want to be, I want this, I want. And he even confesses it himself. "I will be like the Most High." He comes to Eve in the garden, and what does he say to her? Eat of this fruit, and you will be like God. Why is that tempting to Eve? Because apparently it was tempting to Satan. Any doctrine, any teaching that says you can be like God comes from the Garden of Eden. Even before that, it comes from eternity when Satan says, I want to be like God. I want to be like God. It's absolutely amazing. That's his passion. Do you realize that when the Antichrist comes, the Bible says in the book of Daniel, for example, he will speak great pompous words and deceive the world. Satan will dwell within him. Inside, Satan will be living inside this human being, the Antichrist. And do you ever think of the perversion of that? The world will worship him. Here you got a man, and he's speaking to the world, and everyone's just ooh and ah. And he made a 7-year peace treaty with Israel, it says in the Bible. Everybody's in awe of him. And inside of him, looking out of the windows of this human's eyes, will be Satan getting all the jollies and all the goosebumps and oh, they're worshiping me. They're worshiping me. He's living it out through this puppet man, the Antichrist. Isn't it sick? Think about it, how perverse that is. That he's going to get inside of a human and look out through the eyes, and he's going to see humanity bowing down, worshiping this man called the Antichrist, and Satan, by association, is going to be completely turned on by that. Finally, I got it, finally. Didn't he say to Jesus, if you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Why is that important to him? Selfish ambition. Apparently, it plagues even the most lofty angel that has ever been created, Satan himself, who was cast out. I will, I will, I will. 5 times he says, I will. I will be like the Most High. Just that admission says that there is the Most High and there'll not be any other. Did you hear that? I hope you understand that. Because did you know this? I don't know if you know this or not. But whenever you hear someone in Arabic say, Allahu Akbar, do you know what that means? Allah is greater. Allah is greater. Greater than who? I will be like the Most High. Wannabe. Interesting, huh? This dates back to eternity. And Abimelech is of that spirit. And apparently it runs in the hearts of mankind. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, let nothing be done through selfish, what's the word? Ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Jesus is the King of Kings. Abimelech says, my father's a king. Jesus is the King of Kings. He is no a king. He is the King. But when you have selfish ambition, you are literally, listen, I know this sounds dramatic, but I think it's absolutely true. When you have selfish ambition, you are pitting yourself against the very authority and nature of God himself. You want to run the show. Scary. The Bible says in Jeremiah 45:5, seekest thou great things for yourself? Seek them not. Why? Because you get hurt. Psalm 75:6 says, for promotion comes not from the east or from the west, nor from the south, but from the Lord. Isn't that great? Do you want to be promoted in your job? Give God your job. Do everything you do at your job to the Lord, and God will take care of the rest. It's beautiful. So verse 3 says, and his mother's brothers spoke all these words concerning him in the hearing of all the men of Shechem, and their hearts were inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, he is our brother. Yep, he's our blood. We're on the same page. And so they're sons of ambition together. In John chapter 8, verse 39, church, listen to this. Boy, I tell you, Jesus never pulled any punches. You know, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. You got to read all the Bible. I mean, he is meek and mild. Don't take that wrong. But when Jesus saw wrong, he took care of it. You remember when Jesus said, when you offend the least of these, when you offend a child, Jesus said, when you hurt a child, or when you cause, listen to this, if you cause someone to stop or to be challenged in faith in God, you've offended, as it were, a child. Jesus said, it'd be better for that person to have a millstone tied around their neck and thrown into the sea. It would be better. Better than what? The word means better to be thrown into the depths of the sea with a millstone around your neck. By the way, they weigh anywhere from 500 to 2,000 pounds. You ain't going to swim with a millstone around your neck. You go down to the bottom. Jesus said, that's better than in the day when I get done with you. In the day of judgment, for those who have offended children, Jesus is going to roll up the sleeves of his robe. It is going to be awesome. In John chapter 8, verse 39, they answered and they said to Jesus, Abraham's our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. What is the works of Abraham's children? To believe. Abraham was justified by faith, remember? But now you seek to kill me, Jesus said, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. They were implying, the Pharisees were insinuating that Jesus was born of fornication. They said to him, hey, we're not born of fornication. Wow. We have one father, God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a father of them, a father of lies. Wow. So here these guys say, hey, Abimelech, we're brothers. I would not want to be Abimelech's brother. By the way, one old scholar, ancient scholar, said, and it's very true, he says, regarding this, the Hebrew construction of this is a racial issue. It's not only spiritual, it's racial. We're of a different group. And racism, by the way, I think you know this by now, but racism against any ethnic groups, blacks against whites against blacks, any color against any color, is a demonic and satanically rooted evil. I hope you understand that. Satan loves ethnic separation. By the way, a healthy church is a Neapolitan mix-up of all kinds of things. And ages, too, by the way. Ages and colors and financial strata, lifestyle. When God's moving in a church, when God's moving in a fellowship, it should be all God's people, because we've come together recognizing that it is the Word of God. Amen. And that Jesus is our Savior. And if you really want to freak out, those of you who are struggling over this, I'm going to really freak you out, and you can struggle with this all the way home. Listen to this. Jesus, your Lord and Savior, was a Jew. Ha! My God's Jewish.
Well, you know, those Jewish people.
Hey, watch out. Jesus was a Jew. God, when he came to earth, he said, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Who do I want to be? I'm going to go and be a Jew. He could have come as a Canadian. He could have come as a Peruvian. Think about it. And then the Jewish people, they said, you know, you picked us for the chosen people. And he said, hey, wait, I didn't pick you because you're so something. Remember what he said? He said, I picked you because you're the most stubborn people on the planet. He wrote that in the Bible. He did. I picked you because you're the most stubborn people. In other words, if I can save a Jew, God says, I can save anybody. Listen, that's good news. My God is Jewish. So when somebody wants to segregate the world up, just know this. There's only one thing that segregates us up, believer and unbeliever. And you and I have friends and relatives that are unbelievers, but we hope that doesn't stay for very long even. We want them to come into the family of faith and of love. God is so good. Verses 4 and 5, so they gave him 70 shekels of silver from the temple of Baal Berith, with which Abimelech hired worthless and reckless men. What a loser. And they followed him. Then he went to his father's house at Ophrah and killed his brothers. Ambition leads to murder every time. If it's not murder by blood, it's murder by destroying someone's reputation or someone's name. It will always lead to some sort of murder. Verbal attacks or radical suicidal paganism that kill people. But Jotham, the youngest son of Gideon, we don't know how old he is, Jerubbabel, that's Gideon's name, was left because he hid himself. And all the men of Shechem gathered together, all of Beth Millo, and they went and made Abimelech king, not judge. God was not doing kings right now. It's judges. He's appointing judges over Israel. No. Abimelech wants to be king. They appoint him king beside the Terebinth tree at the pillar that was in Shechem. Amazing. Look at this, verses 7 to 15. Seizing the kingdom by deception. Now when they had told Jotham, I love this guy, watch this. He went up and stood on the top of Mount Gerizim, and he lifted up his voice and cried out. Now this is interesting, because from Mount Gerizim, church, you can stand there and you can shout, and you would be heard from an amazing distance away. For those of you who have been with us to Israel, the acoustics in Israel are almost anointed by God. It's strange. The theater at Caesarea, without amplification, I will stand on the stage and be able to speak to the tour, no amplification. And I don't know how many seats it is. Is it like 1,600 seats? No amplification. Just amazing. When you're at the Sea of Galilee, on the shore or on a boat, you can talk to people who are standing on the shore. You can speak to them and the sound just amplifies. Here, Jotham goes on top of Mount Gerizim and he starts to communicate to these crazies that are down there, the men of Shechem. And this is what he says, "Listen to me, you men of Shechem, that God may listen to you." Listen to this. He gives them a parable, Old Testament parable. "The trees once went forth to anoint a king over them. And they said to the olive tree, 'Reign over us.' But the olive tree said to them, 'Should I cease giving my oil, with which they honor God and man, and go to sway over trees?' Then the trees said to the fig tree, 'You come and reign over us.' But the fig tree said to them, 'Should I cease my sweetness and my good fruit and go sway over trees?' Then the trees said to the vine, 'You come and reign over us.' But the vine said to them, 'Should I cease my new wine, which cheers both God and men, and go sway over trees?'" Watch verse 14. "Then all the trees said to the bramble," to a worthless, thorny vine that does nothing for anybody but give you a headache, "You come and reign over us." And the bramble said to the trees, "If in truth you anoint me as king over you, then come and take shelter in my shade." They don't have any shade. It doesn't have any shade. "But if not, let the fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon." In other words, make me king or you're going to die. You know what you love this? These crazies, the parable is saying, "Hey, olive tree, come and reign over us." And the olive tree is basically saying in the parable, I have a more lofty and noble God-ordained calling than that. Find somebody else. Should I leave the great thing that I was created for to do that? No way. Each time the response is, I'm not going to stop doing what God's called me to do to go be king. What are you, crazy? Who would impose themselves through ambition and deception to be king? something worthless. It's one thing for people to want you to be king or to run for office. That's one thing. Let people, let the words of their mouth exalt you, but don't exalt your own situation. The bramble's promoting itself. Who's the bramble? It's easy to understand this parable. Abimelech's the bramble. He's the weed. He's the thorn. Self-promotion leads to deception, and they'll always travel in combination. Ambition will go about to deceive those that are around them. Dangerous. To seize the kingdom by deception. Is not Satan, again, the author of deception? Is he not the one that is a master at that? You know, church, we're living in perilous times because like never before, we so need to be into our Bibles and into our walk of faith with God, because I personally believe that we could have maybe survived in 10 years ago and 20 years ago and 30 years ago, kind of just getting by, but not anymore. Doesn't it seem like Satan's got a long leash these days? And deception, is not good evil and evil good? It's a very dangerous time because there's an ambition out there and it will deceive. And you and I will be deceived if we're not in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has been commanded by Jesus to teach us all truth and bring to remembrance whatsoever things we've heard from the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But if we're not in the Word, the Spirit of God's got nothing to remind us of. And we'll hear something. And this is terrifying because someone could say something for hours, for days, for months, years. You guys, I got to tell you something. I saw teachings by some character who was not a character at the time. It was powerful teaching. Couldn't find anything wrong with it early on. He pastored a church up in the San Francisco Bay Area. Got a huge following. Began to fuel his flesh. Got ambitious. And then began to deceive. Do you know what his name is? Jim Jones.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a mini-series called Kingdoms in Conflict, it's a look at the Old Testament book of Judges, chapter 9, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Currently, Pastor Jack is also teaching a series called Life and the Bible, a collection of presentations taken from many parts of Scripture that contain practical wisdom on not just what to believe, but how to live and deal with the issues we experience every day. Some of the DVDs in this series: Being a Christian in Your Relationships, Being a Christian at Your Job, Being a Christian in Your Marriage. Well, two DVDs in this series are called Being a Christian in Your Home. It's in two parts. So for a gift of any amount in support of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's message on DVD called Being a Christian in Your Home. And this week it's part two. Once again, it's a presentation in the Life and the Bible series. Whether you call, click, or write, be sure and mention it by title: Being a Christian in Your Home. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You can also send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. Amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.